Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Kemne Parish Church. If you're a visitor with us this morning, we welcome you most warmly to this time of worship together. Just a few intimations to share this morning. First, an update on our money raised for Christian aid. The total as of today is sent out was £7,830 for the ongoing work of Christian aid. We may remember this year the focus is on helping folk in the country of Bangladesh. So a big thank you to all who have helped contribute to such a worthy cause. A reminder that our Bible discovery groups on Monday and Thursday are now on holiday for the summer. And the final meeting of the Wednesday Bible discovery group that's led by me on the Gospel of John will meet this Wednesday at 7:30. Even if you haven't been before, it's never too late. So we'll go through the last chapter, John chapter 21, together this Wednesday night. And also a reminder that our new rotas for Holy Communion are available to pick up today. So if that impacts you, please do be mindful of the new rota. Are there any other intimations to share with our church family this morning? Anything else at all? Well, with those said, let us enter into our time of worship. Let us enter in to the house of the Lord with gladness and with thanksgiving, as we prepare to sing our opening song of praise, Open the Doors of Praise. And during the singing of this song, your offering for God's continued work in Kemne and beyond will be uplifted.
Let's all stand.
Open the doors of praise. Open the doors of praise.
Let us pray. Lord God, we give you thanks for the gift of this day, the gift of sunshine, the gift of warmth, the gift of this fellowship that we have together. this gift of being united with the saints throughout the ages, all of whom have opened the doors of praise, all of whom have proclaimed your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. Lord, without your steadfast love, we would be lost. Without your steadfast love, we would never truly be whole. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, even when we stray from the path of life. Even when we sin against you, you never cease to love us. You never cease to call us back to you. And Lord, everything that we have in our lives, every good thing, every blessing, is a gift from your hand. We are but stewards of all that we have, for all things truly do belong to you. And in our lives, Lord, we pray that you would give us this vision of using all that we are to proclaim the good news of the gospel in thought, in word, and in deed. And so, Lord, as we gather here today as your people for worship, we pray that you would use this time, this singing, this praying, and this preaching. Use all of it to conform us ever more closely to the likeness of your beloved Son, Jesus. And as a sign of our steadfast faith in you, we join our voices together in prayer, saying the very words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
And now we continue to worship God through song by singing our next hymn, O God, our help in ages past.
Everyone.
I say good morning.
Oh, sorry. I was doing something wrong. We're using the children's time this morning just to give you a bit of an update on what's been happening over the summer time. And I'm hoping some people are going to come and join me. Lucy, Ben, do you want to come and join me? Okay. Brilliant. So this week was the start of our holiday club, and we thought we'd try something a bit different, and we went off to the academy for a couple of days. We were small in numbers, but perfectly formed. And I'm going to give this to Katie and see if you can light it up for me. Okay. Wonder if anybody can guess what our story was this week. Hold it up, Katie. Can anybody guess? The burning bush, that's right. We were talking about Moses and the burning bush yesterday on Friday, and on Thursday it was supposed to be baby Moses in the basket. So, Katie, how was the club this week? You just speak quite loudly.
It was good.
It was good? Yes? It was good. I think that's about all we're going to get out of him. So, yes, we did. We made our burning bushes, and we made our baskets, and we played some really cool games. And we one was called Slave and Soldier. Yes, Katie was rather good at that one. And this week, we're moving back up to our traditional home of the church centre for Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday. And you guys are all coming, aren't you? Yes. Cool. Excellent. Thank you very much. Last Monday, was our first big red bus. And I think we had a few visitors. Adult visitors came round to see what all the fuss was about. Noel, did you enjoy it? We had just a few children. We were based down at Milton Meadows, and we played fun slingers. Now, Charlotte hasn't come down, but she was very into the fun slingers, weren't you, Charlotte? Really good. Fun slingers are a bit of like, it's like a tennis racket with a net, and you've got this projectile that you fire, and it goes for absolute miles, and then you've got to try and catch it in the net. So played in pairs. So the boys and girls were really into that. We had a few volunteers from the Trust came along, and Adam and Fraser came to help with the fun slingers. But we could do with a few more volunteers on Monday, if anybody's willing to come and have a go. We're going to be based at the skate park on Monday night. Okay, and then our big event next week is our Youth for Christ football cage, which is up on the screen there. Thank you, Helen. This is going to be a huge event. The cage is coming, and it's going to be travelling around the village during the day and then based up at the church centre at night. We're going to have the word for a week. So it's going to require an awful lot of help, and I'm really appealing to people to come forward. And just even if you can only give a couple of hours, an hour, anything would be really good. And you don't have to work with the kids. What I'm also looking for is some people maybe to help out with the team, because the team aren't going home in between sessions. They're going to need fed. And they're also going to need people to come in and pray with them as well for the continued success of the week. So if you can offer any help to me at all, please speak to me at the end of the service. Okay, thank you very much. Okay,
thanks, Suzanne, for that great update. And thanks for all your wonderful and hard work to offer ministry opportunities and ways for our young people to come to know the Lord better through invitational ways. So as Suzanne said, these are all very vital projects, worthwhile endeavors. And if anyone has the interest and time and whatnot, please do speak to Suzanne after the service for more specific information about dates and times and how we all might be able to be of help to support this important ministry over the summer. Well, as we may know today, we're continuing and concluding our series on the Lord's Prayer. This last petition has to do with not being led into temptation, but being delivered from evil. Temptation is a part of the Christian life. And so when I got some song recommendations from the praise band for this Sunday and I saw this next one coming, I just couldn't resist. So we prepared to continue to worship God by singing our next praise song together, Sometimes I'm Naughty.
Sometimes I'm naughty, I know I'm in bad. Sometimes I'm kind, things make me both sad. I know I'm wrong, what is wrong in
sometimes the simplest songs get it the best, don't they?
This reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Chapter 6, reading verses 10 to 20. The armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Amen. May God bless this reading from his holy word.
Thank you, Muriel. We continue to worship our God in song by singing our next hymn, Christ is Made, the Sure Foundation.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the chance to be here today. We are so grateful for the chance to hear you speak to us again through the pages of Scripture. As we pause in this place, give your peace to our minds and hearts so that we may hear you speak to us anew. May everything that I say, may everything that we hear bring glory to you. We pray these things to you, Father, through the Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we know, we've spent the last several weeks slowly journeying through the words of the Lord's Prayer. In the original language, in the Greek of the New Testament, the Lord's Prayer in Matthew's Gospel is only 57 words long. But these 57 words change the world. And they can change our lives, too. And we've spent time each week on each petition as we've gone through this prayer. We started with the first petition of Hallowed be your name. This is a memory test for me now. And the next petition that we went through was your kingdom come. And then after that, the week after, we went through your will be done. And after each of those three, we pray on earth as in heaven. And then from there, we moved to the next set of three petitions in the prayer, didn't we? We first studied, give us today our daily bread. And then the next week we went through and forgive us our debts or our sins or our obligation as we forgive those who have sinned against us or as we forgive our debtors. And now we hear the last petition that lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And taken together, these six petitions, I passed the memory test, these six petitions form both the vertical and the horizontal aspects of the prayer. The first three petitions are all about the vertical, and the second three are the horizontal. Those are more related to here life here on earth, life amongst other Christians, other people as well. But the vertical is not more important than the horizontal, and vice versa. They go together, and I don't think that it's coincidence that the vertical and horizontal form the shape of a cross. Together, these vertical and horizontal encompass the whole of the Christian life. And so today, the final petition, the third of the horizontal aspect, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. When I was praying over this text this week and studying the text this week, I couldn't escape the thought that this last petition is a future-focused petition, isn't it? I once heard a great story, and I love my stories about Martin Luther, so I hope you never tire to hear about Martin Luther. The story goes that when Martin Luther went to bed each night, he prayed the fifth petition, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, right? And he woke up the next morning, he prayed the sixth petition. Do not lead us into temptation. Deliver us from evil. So this is a future-focused petition. It's concerned with what is coming next, what we might face down the road, in the future. There is no time limit on this petition. Daily bread is all about the next step in the journey. But this final petition is all about what lies ahead of us in our Christian journeys. Lord, guard us from temptation. Deliver us from evil. Now, there's a difference between the original version in the Greek and the English version. We're used to hearing the English version, deliver us from evil. But the literal Greek is deliver us from the evil. Now, that might sound like bad English to us. Maybe it sounds like how Donald Trump tends to speak when he's on the news. I love the women. I love the evangelicals. But I think the text is making a different kind of point by saying that it's deliver us from the evil. Deliver us from the force, from the power of evil, which the Bible identifies as Satan. Now, in case we didn't know, Satan is not a proper name. Satan comes from the Hebrew term chasatan, which quite literally means the adversary. So it's not a name, it's a title. But according to the Bible, God is the definition of good, and Satan is the definition of evil. According to Scripture, good is real. The power of good is real, right? But the power of evil is real as well. This is clear time and time again throughout the Bible. I think back to the temptation story of Jesus in the desert, Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. This contest in the desert with the adversary, with Hasatan. You remember how Jesus was tempted in the desert? The three ways that he was tempted. The first one, he said, if you're the Son of God, tell those stones to become bread. And then the next temptation was, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from this high peak and the angels will catch you. And the third temptation, the adversary swung for the fences in this one. If you fall down and worship me, I will give you power over all the world. If you fall down and worship me, you can avoid the cross. You can avoid all that mess about sin, about redemption. I'll give you the easy way out. But Jesus never yielded to temptation. In that story in Matthew 4, he responded to every single temptation with the word of God, Deuteronomy to be exact. He combated temptation with the sword of the Spirit that Muriel mentioned in Ephesians. So back to this petition, though, about not being led into temptation, it strikes us as unusual language. Does it seem like an odd thing to pray to God, a God who is all good, a God who is all powerful, to pray, God, you are good, you are powerful, but don't lead us into temptation? That seems like an odd thing to pray. Why would we worry about an all good God leading us into temptation? I think the issue is around one key word in this petition. In the original, it's perasmos in the Greek. This word can mean one of two things. It can mean temptation, or it can mean testing. Maybe we equate those in our minds, but I would like to suggest that they are wildly different, especially when it comes to our understanding of the Bible. So which one is meant in the Lord's Prayer with this word perasmos? Is the Lord's Prayer referencing temptation or testing? I think the answer is yes, a little bit of both. I think this refers to both testing and temptation because of the second clause of this petition where it says, deliver us from the evil, or from the evil one, from the adversary, from Satan. I think it refers to both. And when we read through the New Testament, we need many English words to flesh out what is meant by one word in the original language. And that's very much the case here. This loaded word of testing or temptation. So I think the best way we could probably translate this sixth and final petition may be something like this. Our Father in heaven, as you lead us into the test, don't let the test become temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I'll read that again. Our Father in heaven, as you lead us into the test, do not let that test become temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, maybe some of us are still bothered today by that reading of this petition. Some might be bothered because it's suggesting that God tests us. God tests us. We're used to hearing that God loves us, that God cares for us, but we may not be as comfortable with the idea that God tests us. But I think the Bible is clear on this point, that God reserves the right to test us. Why? Why would God test us? Because I think that true life, the kind of life that God wants us to have, the resurrection life that starts now and comes to full fruition after we die and we are with Christ forever, that true life only begins by trusting and having faith in God, active faith. And in order for that active faith to grow and to deepen and to strengthen, we have to have opportunities for it to do so. And the tests that we face, the tests that God gives to us, are those opportunities for our faith to grow. The Bible is full of examples of God testing people. 2 weeks ago, when we dealt with the first petition of the second half of the Lord's Prayer, "Give us today our daily bread," we heard a reading from the 16th chapter of Exodus about bread from heaven. And in that passage, chapter 16, verse 4, the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day." We remember that part, right? But what comes next? "That I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not." Or think back to an even more striking story, a fairly infamous story from the book of Genesis, chapter 22, the story of Abraham and Isaac. We know this story, don't we? God comes to Abraham after he's blessed Abraham and Sarah with the birth of their son, Isaac. And then God comes to Abraham and says, "Take your son, your only son, who you love, and do the unthinkable. Sacrifice him to me." Now that is an extreme test. But we remember how the story ended, though, too. Abraham obeyed God, took his son, and just as he was about to raise his hand to his son, God intervened and said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy. Stop what you're doing. Now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld even your son, your only son, from me." Or another example of a test comes from Deuteronomy chapter 8. "The whole commandment that I give you today, you should be careful to do. You may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. You shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness." This is looking back on their journey through the wilderness, "that he might humble you, testing you to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." Do we hear a theme here about how God tests us? But perhaps the single greatest example of God choosing to test someone is found in one particular book of the Old Testament. Any guesses what book I'm talking about? What book, more than any other, deals with the testing of an individual? Job. Job is the single greatest example of this, a story of a righteous man who undergoes extreme suffering and must wrestle in the company of his friends with the question of why this suffering is happening, how he should respond to it. I won't say anything more about Job right now, because starting next week, we're going to take a closer look at the story of Job. But it's not just the Old Testament that deals with God testing people. Consider the words from 1 Peter chapter 4. "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial, the fiery test when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed." And all of these passages from the Old and the New Testament all are driving at the same truth, that God does test us. And God's tests are meant to grow our faith. But Hasatan, the adversary, he knows that God tests us. And the adversary knows that God uses his tests to grow our faith in him. And Scripture tells us that Satan's desire is to take the tests that God gives us, to take those tests, and to turn them into temptations. A test grows our faith because it pushes us to rely on God. It pushes us to trust in God. A temptation pulls us away from God because it makes God seem far off. it pushes us away from God's presence. So a test can pull us closer to God. Temptation pushes us away from God. So with that in mind, let's hear again the sixth and final petition from the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, as you lead us into the test, God is there with us in the midst of it. Don't let that test become a temptation. But deliver us, Lord, from the power of the evil one. Now, there's a world of difference, we've heard, between a test and a temptation. As those who bear God's image, we should accept it when God offers us opportunities or tests to increase our faith. But we should never, never be content to allow those tests to do the exact opposite of what they're meant to do, to drive us away from God. Now, left to our own devices, on our own, none of us can stand up against the temptation of the adversary. Apart from God, every test will lead us into a state of temptation, then a state of sin and alienation from God. But the good news is that God never leaves us alone. We heard before in this new version of the Lord's Prayer, as you lead us into the test, implying God's presence with us. God never leaves us alone in our test. No matter who we are, no matter where we come from, no matter what we're going through, God never, ever leaves us alone. There is never a time when God is anything less than faithful to his promises. God helps us in our tests. And God always, always stands ready to guard us in our temptations as well. And that's what this passage from Ephesians that Muriel read for us so beautifully a few moments ago is all about. This passage about the whole armor of God, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes or the temptations of the devil. Not our armor, not our ability, but God's armor, God's ability. From start to finish, from birth until death, we need God's help to live as he wants us to live. We hear this description of the various pieces of armor. It's a vivid picture in the mind. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. For shoes, we have the gospel of peace. We have the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then after this description of the heavenly armor, we have this command to pray at all times, to guard ourselves fully with Jesus Christ, who is the righteousness of God. And these things that Paul tells us in Ephesians, these pieces of heavenly armor, these are all that the greatest saint has ever needed to stand for the gospel. And all of these things are available to us too. All of these things are ours for the asking. All of these things are available to everyone who calls on the Lord in faith. It is the whole armor of God that makes every test we face into that which strengthens our faith. It is the whole armor of God that delivers us from the power of the evil one. It's God's strength, not ours, but God's strength is ours for the asking. I tend to think that this final petition of the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from the evil one, could be used with each petition of the prayer in the following way. Deliver us from the evil one so that your name will be hallowed. Deliver us from the evil one so that your kingdom will come. Deliver us from the evil one so that your will shall be done on earth in our lives as it is done in heaven. Deliver us from the evil one so that we can truly see that our daily bread comes from you, O Lord. Deliver us from the evil one so that we can forgive, Lord, as you have forgiven us. Deliver us from the evil one so that everything that happens in our lives strengthens our faith in you, Lord. We've heard that the Lord's Prayer, these words that change the world, stand over every aspect of our lives. This prayer is not just a written prayer to recite in a few moments. The Lord's Prayer is a way of life. It's a joyful invitation into a deeper relationship, a deeper walk with our God. And may these words, which have changed the world, may they change our lives as well. And when we pray these words, may each of us put on the whole armor of God and stand boldly in God's strength for what we know to be true, for what we know to be right, for what we know to be good. Our Father in heaven, as we enter into the test, guard us from temptation and deliver us from the evil one. Amen. The whole armor of God is ours for the asking. It covers our entire lives. It invites us to lean on God's strength for everything that we need. So in that spirit, let us now sing our next song of praise, In Heavenly Armor.
Let us continue in worship through prayer. Let us pray. Father God, in a week where we have seen so much violence, fear, and angst, it seems appropriate to cry out, Come, Lord Jesus. So often we do not know what to do or say when we see such things as this in our world. Thank you that we can turn to you and that you know our prayers, our hearts, our moans, even before we cry out to you, and that you taught us to pray in circumstances such as this. And so we turn to you using the Lord's Prayer as our model of prayer for the world. Our Father, who is never changing, ever-present and ever-holy, we honor your name today. We recognize you as the Holy One. In an age where everything else is changing, we thank you that you are steady, trustworthy, and slow to anger. Today, we ask boldly that your kingdom would come and that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We cry out for this in the places of inequality and injustice in this world, where people of power are abusing those who are powerless. May your kingdom come and your will be done in them. We ask for that miracle today. Where those who are powerless and turning to violence as the answer, may your kingdom come and your will be done in them. We petition this in your name today. Where those who are privileged and becoming apathetic to the suffering around them, may your kingdom come and your will be done in them. We ask for this today. Father, you have given so much to us. May we have eyes to see that you provide for our daily need, our daily bread. For those in our area who are suffering physically because of the loss of jobs, be their provision. We petition this in your name. For those we know who are suffering from addictions, we ask for your healing today. Come, Lord Jesus. And for those who are physically, mentally, and emotionally in need today, we ask that you would sustain them and heal them, being their daily bread. Thank you for all the daily provisions that you give, Father God. And thank you for the grace and forgiveness you offer us new every day. Help us to forgive our debtors as you have forgiven us. Help us to offer your grace and forgiveness to our enemies, whether they be an evil dictator or a loved one who has hurt us. Come, Lord Jesus, and lead us not into temptation. Help the test not become the temptation. Help us to trust you in our trials, to lean on you and not our own understanding. And deliver us, rescue us from the evil one. Deliver our families. Rescue our community and deliver our world. Walk with us. Guard us with your armor of God. May we daily put it on, having your belt of truth around our waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, and fit our feet with the gospel of peace in an age that needs to hear the good news of peace. And may we take up the shield of faith, which truly can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one, and to put upon our head the helmet of salvation, which aligns us with you, Father God. Thank you that you deliver us. Thank you that you protect us, that you provide our daily needs, and we petition this for ourselves and for the world. We believe you can do all this and more. Come, Lord Jesus, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So be it. Amen. Let us celebrate this good news that God guides us and is with us as we sing, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah."
Guide me, O thou great Jehovah.
In every test that we face, God stands ready to help us. In every test we face, the whole armor of God will guard us. Go forth from this place and tell others the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news for the whole world. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon each of us and upon all who we love this day and forevermore.